So I was thinking the other day, Tammy and I actually, we often talk about this too, how that our younger two, 5 and 7 year old, are getting a different life experience than our 17 and 14 year old. That it's just different now. Like, you know, we can do more now. We have more options available to us. But now we have less energy. Come on, somebody. Like our 17 and 14 year old, I see all these young couples with their little kids, and I'm like, it's so cute. They're like going to the park on Saturday and taking trips to DC, looking at monuments. And on a Saturday, I'm like, here's your iPad. Come on, parent buy iPad, right? I'm like, I'm too tired. You woke me up at 6 a.m. It's my one day to sleep in of the whole week. And I'm like, take your iPad and don't judge me. All right, sorry. But it's just different. Like the energy level's different. All those things are different. You know, when Owen and Faith were little, it was like every Saturday we were going somewhere, doing something, you know, we were full of energy and it was exciting. And one of the things that we used to do when they were little, because, you know, you have no money and you look for free things or relatively free things to do. Can I get a better amen in the house? Okay. We would go to IKEA. I haven't been to IKEA in like a decade, I don't think now, but we go to IKEA up the street in Woodbridge here in Virginia, and we would just walk around and look at things we couldn't afford, right? We would just walk around, you know, and get lost, because how many of you know it's a maze, and you're like, where am I? Where are you? They had a little kids' play area in there. I don't know if they still do. They had a kids' play area in there, and then we would go up and get some Swedish meatballs. Come on, holler at your boy. I was about 50 pounds heavier then, but I love me some Swedish meatballs, a little bit too much back then. All right, so we would go eat Swedish meatballs, but we would eventually end up, because they make you leave through the warehouse. It's what it used to be. They make you leave through the warehouse, and they all have the sale things. And my wife equates sale with free. I equate sale with you still spent money. Right? She's like, but I got it 40% off. I'm, yeah, but you paid 60% of the price. We still spent money, all right? So we'd go through the sale rack, and you got the little cart that you're walking through with nothing on it because you were looking at things you can't afford. And she would inevitably get something, a shelf for the house, a rack, something, you know, something to store something in, whatever it was, we would get it. All it meant is that I left IKEA with a project. Come on, gentlemen, help your boy out. I left with a project, something I'd have to put together, and inevitably, they would not have all the parts in the box. That's code for I didn't follow all the instructions. I used some of the pieces in a different part. So I'd open up this thing, and I'd start with the instructions, and I would think, I'm in a pretty intelligent individual. I see the pattern where they're going here, and if this side was done this way, this side's probably going to be the exact same way. I'd kind of discard the instructions. I'd get to some step where I didn't have a piece, and then I'd have to go back to the instructions, and then I'd have to take it back apart. Come on, don't leave me hanging, gentlemen. Take it back apart. All the wives are like, that is right. Take that thing back apart, reassemble it the right way I should have, more frustrated that I left IKEA with the project, and now this project is taking me longer than I want on a Saturday, my only day off. Are y'all following me? Come on, somebody give me some sympathy today. Okay, at least relate to me. I think this is in part what Paul is saying. He's saying you started with the Spirit, and now you're trying to continue this journey of faith in your own strength. And this is what's happening. I love it when new believers come. When some of you just accepted Christ, maybe at Easter, you're brand new and it's all new. And you're just like, this is amazing. Like, worship, oh my goodness, the presence of God. Oh my goodness, those lyrics, that song was amazing. It's incredible. I opened my Bible the other day and I like read this verse and I never knew the Bible said that. And that was amazing. And everything is amazing because everything is amazing. You love Taco Tuesday. Like, everything is amazing. Are y'all tracking with me? Like, and I love it. You know my favorite thing? Is people that have newly come to faith, I love to hear them pray. Because they haven't got the trappings of like trying to make it eloquent or it's just genuine. It's just heart to heart. It like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this. It's so beautiful to me. But the longer you journey in faith, you start to go, oh, okay, so we stand up then and then we sit down. I got it. Oh, they're going to do the, oh, that verse. Okay, I've heard that one before. God works all things together for those who love and call according to. I've heard that. I know what they're going to say. I got this one down. Been here, done that. And somewhere along in the journey, we can begin to think that what started in the Spirit can be accomplished in our own power. Can be accomplished with what? Oh, we know enough about God. We've learned enough. oh, we've been through the, we know the thing, we know the drill, we've done it. But can I just say to you that what began in the Spirit must continue in the Spirit? That we've learned in week one, chapter one, is that you brought nothing and I brought nothing to the table of salvation, that my right standing with God is by grace through faith. It is a gift of God so that I don't get any kind of credit. That it is grace. It's not Jesus plus Daniel's best day. It is Jesus alone that saved me. And because I brought nothing to this, I need the power of the Spirit to continue in this. Are y'all tracking with me? There never comes a moment in the life of a believer when you don't need the Spirit of God every day of your life. Every day of your life. And I think the Holy Spirit gets a bad rap depending on the church background you grew up in. I grew up in a church background that it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. You didn't talk about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit would make you do weird things. Come on. Some of you, your cheek's so tight and it ain't these right now. You're like, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's going to get weird in here. Somebody's going to break out a tambourine. No, no, they won't. Security will ask them to come outside and have a conversation nicely. No, no flags. None of that's happening, all right? But he gets a bad rap. I grew up where you didn't talk about the Holy Spirit because, like, weird things would happen. Can I just say, if someone's weird with the Holy Spirit, they were weird before he ever came along. Are y'all just trying, like, they just weird. There's nothing you can do about it, okay? Maybe the Holy Spirit amplified their weirdness, but I don't know. But it was just weird, all right? So we got two extremes. It's like either it's the Holy Spirit makes you do weird things, or we don't even talk about it anymore, and neither one of them is the way to live your Christian life. Are you following me? You need the power of the Holy Spirit every day in your life. And so the Bible says that whenever we accept Christ, we are then filled with the Spirit. So if you said yes to Jesus, you may not even know this, but you were filled with the Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have Jesus. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have salvation, and you don't have a hope of heaven. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our seal, like the signet of a king. It is our seal of salvation. You are filled with the Spirit at the point of salvation. Now, the more I studied this week, I was like, I think I need to do a whole series for the church on the Holy Spirit because there's so much that I could say about it. But you are filled with the Spirit. Now, we believe as a church that there's also a thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit where you are immersed in the Spirit. It's like a water bottle being filled and then dunking that water bottle in a pool. You're filled with the Spirit, but we also believe that you can be immersed or baptized in the Spirit. Are you following me? But the moment that you accept Jesus, you are filled with the Spirit of God. Why? Because the Christian life, listen to me, look at me, is impossible apart from the power of the Spirit of God in your life. Because you need the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you need something that makes you better than you. The Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. Because Daniel doesn't love to love his enemies. Am I the only one? Daniel doesn't love to treat those kindly who treat my family poorly. Am I the only one? Daniel doesn't love to always be generous. Hello, somebody. Daniel doesn't always love to speak a kind word and be patient. Hello. Daniel does not like to be patient, but he does like talking in the third person. I'll stop. I don't know why I'm doing that. It's like I turned into The Rock for a minute or something. Ha ha, the final boss. All right. And what do I need? I need the Holy Spirit in me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit can empower me to forgive you when I don't really want to, but the Holy Spirit can empower me to love. The Holy Spirit can empower me to be patient when I really don't want to be patient. Holy Spirit can empower me to be kind when I don't want to be kind. I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life every single day. I need to be leaning into the Holy Spirit. I need to be talking to the Holy Spirit. Some of you, you live your entire Christian life never tapping into. He's there, but it's like you ignore him. And I want to talk to you today about five things that the Holy Spirit does for you, if you'll let him. Five things the Holy Spirit does for you. If you're a note taker, you need to write these down. If not, you need to write them down anyways. All right. John chapter 14, verse 16 says this, and I will pray the Father. This is Jesus talking. He says, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He's going to give you another comforter. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Other words are used like the word helper. I'm going to give you a helper. See, Jesus said this. He was talking to his disciples, and he said, listen, it's better that I go. talking about go back to the Father, go back to heaven. So post-resurrection, he's meeting with the disciples, and in one of the conversations, he says, it is better that I go back to the Father. Now, think about that for just a moment. Let that sink into your mind, that Jesus says, it's better that I go. Like, Jesus is God. He's fully God. I'm imagining that he could have been like, I'm going to freeze myself in time at 33 years old. How cool would that be? How cool would it be in 2024 to be like, yeah, 33-year-old Jesus is over in Jerusalem right now. You can go visit him if you want. Or he live streams every day at 5. Like, how amazing would that be? Like, live stream Jesus on YouTube, other social platforms, every day at 5. And he kind of gives a Bible study, kind of talks about, gives us some inside stories. Like, hey, I bet you didn't know this about Peter. This is a funny one. You know what I mean? Like, how amazing would that be to have Jesus in the flesh here today? But he said, it's better that I go. So I'm going to create a better situation than you having me here in the flesh. And he said, I'm going to give you another, the Greek word is a parakletes, another of the same kind. And he's going to be abide in you forever. In other words, you have access in the Holy Spirit to a power that is like having Jesus walk with you every day of your life. How amazing is that? He's called the Comforter. He's called the Helper. He's called Peace. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. It's not something to be afraid of. He's not something that makes you a wild-eyed fanatic that makes you chase revivals and stand on the side of the street with a blowhorn. Are y'all with me? And so number one, the Holy Spirit comforts me. Jesus said, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he's going to send another one like me, and he's going to be your comfort. This is the Holy Spirit. He's your comfort. The Holy Spirit is the one. Have you ever been in a tough situation? I know, you know, coming up on 9 years ago, my father passed, and it'll be in this fall, and the grief, and, you know, grief is funny, isn't it? It's like, I could be driving to work, and then it would hit you out of nowhere, and it's like, whoa, where did that come from? And it doesn't have a timetable, and it doesn't have a schedule, and it doesn't let you know when it's going to show up, and you could see something or hear something or just moments, you know. The last time my dad was in church, he was in that seat right there in this building, last time he could attend a service. And sometimes just moments I'll be preaching, I look at that seat, and my mind goes there while I'm talking to you about something else. Just, you never know, right? And during that time, I mean, church family was amazing. I don't know how people make it through hard times without a church family. Just encouragement and prayer, and we love you. And all that was wonderful, but it could only do so much to a hurting soul. But the Holy Spirit, in moments where no one was around, and I didn't really want anybody to be around. Come on, you ever been there? You're just like, I don't want anybody around right now. And that's okay sometimes. You can't stay there. Isolation will kill you. But there's some moments where you're just like, I don't want anybody around. And you know in those moments what I would just say? Holy Spirit, help me. It doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out, eloquent prayer. Just be like, Holy Spirit, I just need your presence. And there's nothing like, it's like the moment when we were singing, I exalt thee. You could just feel the presence of God. There's a comfort in that. There's a hope in that. There's a healing in that. John 14, 27 says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. He said, I don't give it as the world gives it. The world gives it saying, if everything's going your way and you're winning in every area, then you have peace. God says, no, I can give you a peace that is beyond that. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is our comfort. Number one, he can comfort you. And some of you, maybe you're in need of that right now. I just want you to know, just right where you're at, you can just whisper those words, Holy Spirit, I need your comfort right now. And you know what he'll do? He'll comfort you as only he can. John 14, 26 says this. It says, but the counselor, somebody shout counselor. Another way that he's described, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So number two, the Holy Spirit reveals truth to me. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to me. Truth with a capital T. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit will reveal truth to you. You know, it's like whenever I read God's Word, I'm reading through the Bible, and there are times where you read it. I don't know if you've experienced this, but you're reading it, and it's like something leaps off the page at you. You know what that's Holy Spirit revealing something to you. It's just, I can't explain it. I don't know how it works. This is supernatural thing of I'm reading these words inspired by God, breathed by the Holy Spirit through the hands of men, and I'm reading these words, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit illuminates something to me, gives truth to me, and sometimes that truth confronts me. Hello, somebody. Sometimes that truth encourages me, but the truth of God's Word is revealed because the Holy Spirit makes it come alive to me. Some people could read this book that don't know God and they're like, oh, it's a nice little book, ancient text, but no. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you makes this word come alive to you and makes it speak to you. It's as current as tomorrow's newspaper, although the words were written thousands of years ago. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has a way of illuminating truth to me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 says that. It says, for the word of God is alive. And it's powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. Soul and spirit. Did you know, real quick, are y'all still with me? Yes. So real quick, you are body, soul, and spirit. You're made of three parts. If you've been through Freedom, you know this. Your body, soul, and spirit. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Your mind, will, and emotions are the part of you that gets the most tampered in life. Because you get a certain mindset, you develop a certain will, and then you have certain emotions based on the mind and the thinking that has been created through experiences, positive or negative, in your life. And what happens is your soul becomes a filter for the spirit. So the spirit is trying to lead you and guide you. This is the wrestle for most of you. The spirit is trying to lead you and guide you, but your mind is going, no, I was raised, you don't do it that way. But the spirit is going, no, now you're a child of God, and this is the way we do it. Are you following me? And the word of God has the power to cut through soul and spirit. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires because nothing is hidden in all creation from God. And so the word of God, as I read it, the spirit leads me into truth. We have a phrase in culture these days called my truth. It's a nice phrase, but there is one truth. His name is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. There is one truth, and his truth has been revealed in the Word of God. Are you following me? There's one truth. His name is Jesus, and the Spirit of God will lead me into it. So you're watching something on TV. How do you filter it? How do you go if that's true or not? Holy Spirit, take me to your Word. Help me see. Is this truth? Is this not true? How do I think about cultural issues? I open up the Word of God. Holy Spirit, lead me into truth. How do I think about political issues? Holy Spirit, lead me into truth. How do I think about marriage? Holy Spirit, lead me into truth. How do I think about parenting? Holy Spirit, lead me into truth. How do I think about my finances? Holy Spirit, come on somebody, lead me into truth. I need the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, to lead me every single day. If not, you'll get halfway through putting up the shelf and realize you did it wrong. You'll be paying for it. The mess is in your life, the pain in your life, the broken this in your life, and you'll have to come back around and say, I should have started with the Holy Spirit leading me into truth. All right. That was number two of five. Let me decide which one I'm going to give you. All right. All right, let's go. We'll skip to four. I'll give you the last two. All right. Number four, Holy Spirit convicts me. Some of you are like, yeah, you should have stopped. Holy Spirit convicts me. Jump back up, team. John 18:8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. He convicts me of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts me. He makes it uneasy inside of me. Let me give you the difference. There's conviction and there's condemnation. Condemnation is from the devil. The Bible says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. This is the feeling of condemnation: fear, guilt, shame. Can't believe you did that. God will never forgive you. That's the devil. That's how he works. He's not a creative, so he can't create. Think about that. So he's been doing nothing new since the garden. God is creative, so he can create. The devil's not create. He's not a creator, so he has no creative authority. So he's been doing the same thing since the garden, tempting you by your own desires. James says you're led away and you sin. The devil doesn't make you do it. You do it. I do it. That's what James says. And then after you sin, he goes, look at you. Can't believe you. I wouldn't even go back to church. I wouldn't even show up. I wouldn't even pray. God ain't going to hear you. He won't listen to you that way. Just guilt and shame, fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear, though, and God is a God of perfect love. So conviction says this: I'm better than that. I'm better than what I just did. I'm a child of God. I know my identity. We learned last week. I'm better than that comment I made. I need to go fix that. I'm a child of God. Conviction goes, no, I'm calling you higher. I'm not beating you lower. Are you tracking with me? Conviction is when you leave that conversation and you go, I shouldn't have said that. I need to go address that. Or I should have, I didn't say something I should have said, or I left something out, or man, the way I reacted, I need to go apologize for yelling at them again. I'm going to tell you which kid. Just keeping it real, y'all. That's that Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? I believe, not in every case, I believe some of the anxiety some of you are facing was a moment of conviction you never resolved. Because the Holy Spirit loves you enough to mess with you until you deal with sin. Why? Because he knows you're better than that. He's called you to greater than that. And man, that conviction will cause your peace to go away. Some of you are like praying, peace of God, fill me. And God's going, it will if you'll forgive, if you'll release that bitterness, if you'll go have that conversation, if you'll circle back around on that thing, the peace will flow into you. Because he will just nag, it'll nag and nag in there. He convicts you. Number five, which is really number four for you, but I have a fifth point, so you get it. Anyways, ask another service what number three was. Number five, Holy Spirit guides me. The Holy Spirit guides me. Man, how many of you need the guidance of the Holy Spirit? I'm telling you. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, whether you turn to the right or you turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Every day, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, guide me today. I don't know about you. I pray before we have ever gone into a building to buy, Holy Spirit, I need you to go before me. Holy Spirit, I need you to guide me in this. Holy Spirit, why? Because he knows the roadblocks that are up ahead. He's already been in my tomorrow and the week from now and the year from now. Holy Spirit, I need you to guide me. I don't know, guide me as a parent. Lord, guide my children, guide my family, guide my parenting, guide my marriage, God. Holy Spirit, I need you to guide. I need to hear your voice. This is the way, walk in it. Do I say that or do I not say that? Do I make that decision or do I not make that decision? Do we buy that, make that purchase or not make that purchase? Do I go to that college or not go to that college? If it says LifePoint, that's the Holy Spirit. Do I buy that house? Pastor, are you kidding me? God doesn't care about all those little minimal things. He just cares about the spiritual things. No, you are a spiritual being. So everything is spiritual in your life. He cares about everything about you. If he cares about the hairs that are on your head and the ones that used to be there, hello, somebody. Then he cares about every choice you make. The roommate you choose, the car you buy, the business you start, the college you go to, the house you buy, the decision you make, the marriage, all that. He cares about every little thing, and you need the voice of God in your ear going, this is the way, walk in it. or turn to the right. But God, the left is amazing. The left is all the left is wherever. The left looks incredible. The left is like sets me up for the next few years. Yeah, but if you'll take the right, you'll find out that following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, God will take you places you never dreamed, do things in and through your life you never dreamed, because you followed the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Come on, have me be thankful for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Come on, have you say, I need more of the Holy Spirit. God, give us more of you, more of your power, more of your guidance. Come on, more of your conviction, more of your truth. We need more in our lives. Hey, let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to so many of you right now. Some of you are here today and you haven't experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit because you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. And I'm not asking you if you have a church membership or you've been confirmed or your name is on a roll somewhere. I'm asking, do you know Jesus? There's a big difference between knowing your church and knowing Jesus. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus today? Have you made him the Lord and Savior of your life? The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That simply means your sins will be forgiven today. Today can be a day of brand new beginning, a day where the Holy Spirit fills you, walks with you, journeys this life of faith. So if you'd like to receive that gift today, if you say, Pastor, I need a new beginning. I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Then in just a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. There's nothing magical in the prayer, but if you mean it from your heart to God's, then on the authority of God's word, not Daniel's word, you'll be forgiven. Heaven will be your home. Today will be a fresh start. And so if that's you, before we pray, I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to ask you to shoot your hand up high enough, long enough for myself or your campus pastor to see. No one's going to point you out or come to you, I promise you. And I just kind of believe this is your outward expression of faith when your hand goes up. It's saying, God, it's me. Yes. And so if that's you, on three, this is your moment. You shoot your hand up, then we're going to pray together. On three. One, two, three. You just shoot it up. Keep it up. High enough, long enough. God bless you. God bless you. You can put it down. Church, let's pray out loud for the benefit of those who just slipped their hand up. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name, everybody said a big amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who made that decision.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.